Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 8:36. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Hi FM. Eli Epiepsch is the Director of International Affairs for Israel's Defense and Security Forum. He joins us this morning. Eli, a very good morning to you. Thanks for joining. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you for having me. It's a beautiful day in Jerusalem, the morning after Jerusalem Day.
It is indeed. And I'm talking to you from Jerusalem as well. We're here for a few days for a wedding, and in fact had the privilege of being here for Jerusalem Day yesterday, which was just an incredible, incredible experience to be here, to be part of. Eli, can we just talk about what is happening in southern Gaza? It's very, very hard to get a sense of what is going on. If we follow social media and some of the international press, it's one story. Israeli press, very contained in what they're reporting. What is happening there?
Well, thank you so much, Ed. It is important to clarify because there is a lot of there's a lot of information. A lot of it is not accurate. Some of it is, and a lot of it is also is developing. To be perfectly honest, and any kind of military activity, there's going to be a shroud and a certain amount of secrecy. It's not ideal to present everything. However, what is certainly clear is that already starting last week, Israel commenced Operation Gideon's Chariots, which is designed, it seems like Israel keeps fighting in Gaza again and again and again. What's the difference? This time, the goal is really to break Hamas's fighting capability. In the past, it was a little bit more about trying to retrieve our hostages. And obviously, freeing hostages remains a priority. But we're now at the point where we really do feel like we have the ability to destroy Hamas's fighting capabilities. We've been seeing the last few days evidence of Gazan civilians protesting and resisting against Hamas in a way that we really haven't seen before. Israel's approach with its new chief of staff of the army, his name is Eyal Zamir. He has a very different approach, and it's based on his background. Typically, the heads of the chiefs of staff of the military have come from the special forces, the kinds of people who are responsible for doing such incredible operations like the Beeper operation that we experienced or that we didn't, but was experienced by others a few months ago. Those people get elevated. And as you can imagine, when Israel commences operations, they value these kinds of quick, unique shots that go in, go out. It makes a splash, but there isn't that kind of sustained IDF capability. Eyal Zamir comes from the Armored Corps. He understands the power, how to use the full military. And I expect, and as right now Israel is moving into different strategic areas in Gaza, the goal is to stay long term. There is a recognition that there is no other option. Israel doesn't want to have to be in Gaza long term, but the only way to provide the kind of safety, security that Israel demands, and frankly, that if there are the Gaza civilians who might be interested in having a positive life alongside Israel, they wouldn't require Israel to provide that kind of security as well. And Israel is now making the plans in order to stay in Gaza for the foreseeable future.
What do we know? What we do know is that Hamas has lost, Israel has taken care of the Hamas leadership in terms of Gaza. There was also a rumor yesterday that I started seeing on social media that Hamas in Gaza, whoever that leadership might be, and Hamas in Qatar are not getting on particularly well. Is that something that that has been confirmed, or is that's just a rumor?
No, there definitely is no doubt that there is a lot of confusion going on from Hamas, even intercepting communications. Within Gaza, forget about even outside of Gaza, both in Gaza, the lack of communication, the lack of trust between the field operations of Hamas with whatever commanders they have left, We see a lot of Hamas fighters who typically have just been staying in tunnels, waiting for the opportunity to attack, are now leaving the tunnels. Some of it is because they're trying to be in touch and be with their families as their families are being moved from place to place, and a recognition that they haven't gotten paid in months, that the IDF is wielding much more control over the humanitarian aid, although the humanitarian aid that Israel has been allowing in over the last few days have been met with a lot of problems, which demonstrate not just that Israel and the U.S. and others who have been trying to bring in the aid have had difficulty controlling it, but it's also that Hamas has been having difficulty in taking control of the aid, which has really been Hamas's lifeline to not just feed themselves, but wield control over the Gaza civilian population. Anytime their Gaza civilians think about demonstrating some sort of independence from Hamas, they recognize that there's a certain point when they are concerned that Israel might leave. Honestly, they are concerned that Israel might leave, and then they will then once again be subject to the whims of Hamas. And I do see that the idea that Israel is making it clear that it's going to be staying in Gaza for the long term, it's not just a message designed for the Israeli public, frankly, for the U.S. and other of Israel's allies, but also to the extent that it gets communicated to the Gaza public, and I do believe that it does. This is critical.
Does that signal the end of Hamas in Gaza? Effectively, if they are without leadership, confusion, not clear on communication or dealing with head office or whoever it would be, people rising up against them, pushing back, is this the dying stage of Hamas?
It could very well be. I would say that we're not quite there yet. Even the IDF estimates are that to ensure that Hamas doesn't come back, it will take probably 18 to 24 months of consistent IDF presence within Gaza to prevent them from establishing. As people have said, you can't kill the ideology, but you can kill Hamas leadership, but they do have the ability to regenerate. Therefore, the sustained IDF presence to really help whatever Gaza civilians want to have an independence from Hamas, to give them the confidence that they have the ability to do so, they could stick up their heads, they could express themselves, and they could say they do not want to, and they want to resist Hamas or any future Hamas resurgence, that is critical. But certainly the lack of communication, the pressure, and frankly, that's why you're seeing discussions about a ceasefire. It's because Hamas knows that they need to regroup, they need the time. And Israel is at this point is making the calculation that it is worth going to a ceasefire, which will allow, what they know will allow Hamas to strengthen themselves. But Israel will get back many hostages with the understanding that Israel would very quickly be able to degrade or downgrade Hamas very, very, very quickly again. So it's an effort that, as Israel has recovered from the first ceasefire, and that while Hamas did get stronger, it didn't take much effort for Israel to get back into a place of significant control. And we are confident, frankly, if Israel does agree to a ceasefire agreement, it would be a sign that Israel is confident that it wouldn't take very long for Israel to once again reestablish itself in Gaza, that its risk, the risk is worthwhile in order to save a handful, and hopefully more than a handful, of Israeli hostages.
We saw the when I think it was Sinwar, Mohammed Sinwar was killed recently. It was in a some form of a headquarters or control center. Do we know if there are a lot more of those, considering that that was where the Hamas leadership at the time was operating out of? Have most of these places been destroyed, or do they still exist in concerning numbers?
You know, most of the ones, most of them have been destroyed. But once again, once you have a critical mass of new fighters who while don't have the same training, don't have the same experience, are much younger, they will have to reestablish new command and control centers. Unfortunately, they continue to choose the safest place for them is underneath hospitals. Last week, I was in Brussels explaining this exact concept to government officials in Brussels as they complained that Israel continues to attack hospitals. The reality is that if the international community complains and criticizes only Israel, not criticizing the Hamas for utilizing, for weaponizing hospitals, what you're doing is you're legitimizing and making it much more valuable, encouraging not just Hamas terrorists, but all bad actors throughout the world to demonstrate that if you weaponize a hospital, it actually allows you to achieve your military goals. Because Hamas's military goal is not just to harm Israel, it's also to force Israel to lead to civilian casualties, which then puts pressure between Israel and its allies. And they understand that if they could separate the unique relationship that Israel has with much of its Western allies, then that is something that allows Hamas and the Iranian axis much more control, much more strength. As long as Israel and the U.S., Israel and Europe are strong, very, very difficult for Hamas to penetrate that. And the way to do so is by enforcing more and more civilian casualties, forcing more and more difficult images of civilians being injured, of devastation, and it's paying a toll. Certainly Europe is having a difficult time a year and a half into the war to continue these issues. And the idea that it's going to take the IDF probably close to 2 years in Gaza to continue to weed it out is something very difficult for them to hear. But at this point, Israel doesn't really have a choice. It's going ahead and it's going to continue this war until complete victory.
Eli Epieps, thank you for that. He's the Director of International Affairs for Israel Defense and Security Forum, giving us an update in terms of strategy-wise, what is happening in southern Gaza, especially in terms of the renewed offensive in the Khan Yunis area. It is 8:49. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. I'd love your thoughts, your reaction on 061-895-1019.